Last Word on Today FM.
And let's go to the Last Word on Sport with Will O'Callaghan, is with us as ever, host of the Hurling Pod and Off the Ball. And we also have Miguel Delaney, chief football writer of The Independent. We'll be getting to the rugby later, but let's start with the English football, because who would have believed that after 11 games, Liverpool would have a 5-point lead over Manchester City, who'd be in crisis because they've lost 2 league games, but 4 in a row in all competitions, that the gap to third and fourth over Chelsea and Arsenal would be 9 points, and that Arsenal would only be 4 points ahead of crisis club Manchester United. This is making for a better season than usual, Miguel, isn't it?
Yeah, well, actually, it's the shortest gap has ever been between third and 13th place at this stage. It's never been so congested. And yeah, exactly as you say, I mean, there's so many clubs you could say in that sense. Tottenham, who've won 4-1 twice in 4 weeks, yet find themselves in crisis at an 11th. And all sorts of talk with the manager. Similar, yeah, Manchester United have had a terrible season, and yet the optimism about the new manager might only be enhanced with the knowledge that if he gets 2 wins straight off, suddenly they're right up there trying to or potentially challenging for the Champions League places. I've done an article on this for tomorrow, actually, the issue, how congested it is. I think there's a few things to it, but certainly, yeah, for the moment, it made it for a more open campaign.
Does it suggest maybe an improvement in standards, that there are more teams capable of beating other teams, or does that imply a drop in standards?
From speaking to people the last few days, and mostly today, the main thing, it's actually because of a consequent drop in standards and basically too many clubs feeling the cost of the schedule, that they can't train the way they usually do, they can't play their best 11s. And it's meaning that like errors are coming into their games, and I suppose it is making it for the moment more unpredictable.
Yeah, but well, does less predictable mean more entertaining?
It does, as long as one team doesn't run away with it from here. I mean, Liverpool have obviously put this very good run going into the international break. Probably the break comes at a bad time for them with the way that they've been playing. Again, I thought very impressive playing in a slightly different way to last season and beating Aston Villa at the weekend, where again Villa looked open on the counter and Liverpool were ready to punish that. They sit 5 points clear. I mean, Arne Slot up until this point has been talking about, you know, it's too early to say they're in a title race. Well, now they've found themselves into a very strong position after 11 games played. Manchester City, like, we wondered what was going to happen with Rodri, Matt. Once he was out, were City going to be vulnerable? And that has been the case. And I think when you saw Brighton smell blood in the second half of that game on Saturday evening and really took the agenda to City, City didn't really have the answers when it came to just a physical sense. They're being outrun in a lot of games, which is not what's been happening conventionally. So you might say that this looks like a 4-game blip in the injury crisis that they have at the moment. But the indicators are also pointing that Man City are a bit off where they were last season as well, which has made them look vulnerable. And for that reason, I think the title race becomes more interesting. This definitely won't be a 90-point season from a team, which means that...
Well, it could be from Liverpool, the rate they're going at.
Maybe. But no one else really looks like they're going to a very, very high standard.
Yeah, but Miguel, will Manchester City just go out and buy a defensive midfielder and a right back in the January transfer window and, hey, presto, all will be fine?
Well, let's see, of course, because there's a lot of uncertainty there as well. Would they... I mean, I know the club is bullish about their stance in the hearing, and they're going to have to take that stance and always do. But would they want to, given there is some uncertainty about how it might come out? And B, I suppose there is the issue, if they have this hanging over them, will that affect potential transfer business in January? I mean, it came up for, say, Ruben Amorim. That's one of many reasons he's at Manchester United rather than waiting, because from his camp, they saw the City situation as too fluid. So, I suppose it's just another potential factor into this season that's making it maybe it won't look how we usually expect it to look by the end of the season.
And what about Arsenal? By a whisker, perhaps could have got a winner in Chelsea, although there might have been a VAR if they had got a goal on that. How much of a crisis are Arsenal in?
I think they will come out of it after the break, and they have the capacity to go on one of these long runs. I mean, I was at the game yesterday, and Arteta went on at length, actually, about exactly this issue we're talking about in terms of the schedule, saying he described the last 8 weeks as a nightmare. Now, I know some people will laugh at that. He has had key players out. He was going on about how when you're trying to train, you don't have players available, you can't work in the same way. It's just kind of constant issues. And I do think that, I mean, like, you could see the difference with Odegaard back, to be honest, even yesterday. They should really have won the game. In fact, most of that match actually felt like about 30% of the game was offside. With the kind of a tone set by that Havertz goal. which is actually to Chelsea's credit in the way they set up. But I think that they'll be fine once they get anything close to kind of a full team back, and you can see them going on a run. And that's why, I mean, on the other side of it, it's the interesting thing with Liverpool in that it's just a great unknown of this season. Obviously, they went on these runs and won it under Klopp, and Slot's a very good manager, potentially a brilliant manager, but it's still his first season, and we'll see what happens once they kind of hit a bit of a wobble and whether they can pick it up again. I think there's still a lot to play for there.
Caoimhín Kelleher, we'll see him on Thursday night at home to Finland. A bit of atonement to do after that dreadful second goal the Greeks got in the last game. But he has not played as many games as Alisson for Liverpool this season. We don't know when Alisson will be back. Surely he's playing well enough to keep his place in the team. And then what happens at the end of the season when Mamardashvili comes in from Valencia? Could it be that Alisson could actually end up being sent off to somewhere like Saudi Arabia?
I wonder if there is that temptation. I mean, last season, Caoimhín Kelleher played 20-odd games. I think it was 26 he racked up by the end of the season. So this year now, he's getting an extended run to the team, so much so that they rested him in the Carabao Cup because he's been playing so much regularly. Played again, I thought, very well against Aston Villa at the weekend. He is so
two
good.
Two great reflex saves
two
off
great
corners.
Saves. He's so good with his feet as well, which is a big help when it comes to Liverpool. That grounding has definitely helped from him at the club as well. I get the feeling, we wondered last year, were a Premier League club going to go in for him? You would think at this stage, it's probably a team at the higher end of the table who would be looking to take Kelleher away from Liverpool. It seems that the succession plan is very much that they've now bought Alisson's replacement to come in next season, as opposed to thinking that Kelleher was the replacement in waiting at the club. I still think he has to leave at the end of this year. I don't think there's any guarantee that Kelleher will be the number one. But you see Liverpool fans, probably for the first time after this run in the team this time around, they're saying, actually, hold on, maybe this is the guy that we should be backing.
What's the word, Miguel, on his future?
I think eventually he'll have to leave. I mean, Alisson, like, for all we're talking about, Alisson potentially going himself, it is a goalkeeping position. We've seen in the modern game, they can play into late 30s. Alisson, or he's had a few fitness issues, but you wouldn't think anything that's kind of...
They're unusual for a goalkeeper. You don't get goalkeepers often getting as many fitness issues as Alisson seems to have.
Well, that's true. And I wonder, is that comes down to as well the fact that the position is almost now, it's like a third centre-half position.
Yeah.
An extra centre-half. They have to play with their feet a lot more. All that said, it's still ultimately a much more immobile position. I think Liverpool's plans are for Alisson. And maybe that will be the exit that Kelleher needs, really, at this point. And you would think that at least half the clubs in the Premier League will be looking at him. It is worth mentioning, of course, his teammate in Ireland, because it was actually, I mean, as brilliant as Iriola has done at Bournemouth, it was a surprising decision to take Mark Travers out this weekend, given how good he's been and given, I suppose, how questionable Kepa's form has been, including the way he let one in at the weekend.
Indeed. Actually, the other player from Liverpool's point of view who looked excellent when he came on was Conor Bradley, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's really, really good. I mean, he obviously had that extended run in the team last year, especially when Liverpool were looking at moving Trent Alexander-Arnold into midfield on a more permanent basis, and he'll be hoping he can carry that form on again. And like Mo Salah at this stage as well, Matt, he's the quickest player to get to 10 goals and 10 assists for Liverpool in the Premier League season since Luis Suarez, who was incredible in 13-14, was the year that Luis Suarez did that. So whether he's playing for the contract or whether he's showing that his longevity is going to continue with elite performance, you know, no contract but no problem with Mo Salah currently.
Miguel, tell us about a story that broke this afternoon about a referee, please.
Yeah, well, a video circulated online of a referee appearing to be interviewed in some sort of living room setting or something, where it's David Coote, where he made comments about his relationship with Jurgen Klopp and also more positively James Milner. And the latest news as of this afternoon was that the PGMOL, the body that looks after referees in the Premier League, have suspended David Coote with immediate effect pending a full investigation.
Why? What does he say that's so offensive?
He basically he calls him arrogant, uses a few phrases that we probably couldn't repeat at this time on the radio. And then there is, including one of those words, there is a reference to to Klopp's nationality, it sounds like. But I suppose it's just... It all comes amid a kind of wider storm around refereeing at the moment, and the PGMOL will have to go through a thorough process.
Okay. Let's just talk about a couple of other things just to finish. McGrath, I do want to talk to you about international football in a second. But, well, FAI Cup final over the weekend. And despite Derry not having conceded a goal all the way through to the final, that poor form that they showed in the concluding stages of the league carried into an FAI Cup final deservedly won by Drogheda.
I think so. I mean, it's a huge if for Drogheda, and the fact that the players are part-time at the moment, they're getting ready for a relegation playoff against Bray this coming week. That possibly even felt like the more important game than the FAI Cup final, but I thought Drogheda were pretty good value. There might be some dispute over where the foul happened on the penalty, which was a crucial moment within the game. But generally, I thought Drogheda were the better team. Again, Derry were frustrating as they looked at the tail end of the season, struggling for goals when they had to send on Patrick Hooban. That felt like it was a little bit of a gamble on his fitness. It was, let's send him on and see if he's somewhat fit, maybe can get them a goal. Derry will look back at the season with so much regret. I would think that Rory Higgins is under massive pressure now at this stage, given the talent that they had acquired going into the season. Shelburne dropping points left, right and centre really from late June, July up until the last three or four games of the season. Derry were unable to profit in the league. And then they got a run to the cup final against a team towards the bottom of the table, and Derry really didn't fire a shot in the final. So disappointing finish this season for Derry City.
And then for us, match against Finland this Thursday evening in the Aviva, and then followed by our final game in the League of Nations against England at Wembley. Miguel, what do you think should Irish fans be looking out for? So it's just avoid defeat against Finland to get into the playoff, or should Ireland be looking, if we are going to take a leap forward, to win this game, having won in Helsinki?
I was encouraged by Helsinki. It feels like, I mean, I suppose this is why Hamer's been brought in this sense, for this sort of effect in international football, and to be able to quickly organise a team. That was one of his virtues. We maybe saw a sign of it. And I think actually, hopefully, the context might help him this week. I think, yeah, he can potentially step up with another result. But equally, it feels like for a lot of the bigger nations today, or from better populated countries like England, and because exactly what we've been talking about today on the show in terms of the schedule in the Premier League, and Walter, what Mikel Arteta and Enzo Maresca were saying at the game yesterday, I feel this international break could be characterised by a lot of high-profile dropouts. And there's a sense that a lot of kind of maybe the players from bigger clubs could do without it a bit. And maybe for all the discussions we've had about Irish football the last few years, this might be a situation where it plays into our hands a little bit, because it's players that maybe aren't necessarily facing the same rigors. And
Will, on that, because we've had a number of dropouts in the Irish squad. Seamus Coleman isn't fit, which isn't surprising. Adamida is not going to be available. And Shane Duffy, who had been recalled, isn't available. And who is back? Matt Doherty. Did we ever think we'd see Matt Doherty back again?
I know. I did wonder when John O'Shea had to sit down and talk about this at the press conference earlier today. Well, firstly, when it comes to all the injuries, there were only 10 fit outfield players that were available for training this morning. So that maybe indicates the walking wounded coming in. But I really felt after Matt Doherty's comments about him feeling he should be in the squad even if he's not playing for his club, if that was going to come back to haunt him, particularly when Halgrimson didn't pick him when the squad was named last week. Ryan Manning, who a lot of people have been calling for, comes in because cover is needed on that side. Jake O'Brien, I was a little bit surprised that he wasn't in the initial squad, but then again, he's having a miserable time at Everton since he transferred there. So it is a case of being down to defensive cover at this stage, Matt, I would say. It's going to be interesting to see who's actually fit, but again, Adamida has been going well for Celtic as a blow, losing the leadership of Seamus Coleman, not ideal going into this week. And I think, yeah, you'd probably take a draw against Finland to at least give themselves a chance of staying in League B next time around.
And maybe there'll be a better atmosphere in the Aviva on Thursday night than there was for the rugby last Friday night, which we're going to be talking about now in a moment. Miguel Delaney, Chief Football Writer with The Independent, thank you for being with us.
The Last Word on Today FM.